Good evening. This is your friend T. Army Color speaking to you from the Family Bible Hour. We're reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, beginning with verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, that's the Lord Jesus, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part on the heaven shineth unto the other part on the heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and he stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. I tell you that in that night there shall be two in the one bed. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said to them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered. May the Lord bless to us the portion that we have looked at together. Now, last evening we looked at some of the things in connection with the events that are happening around us on every hand. We have saw some of these events, and we have saw scripture fulfilled before our eyes in the past weeks. And now I want again to continue a little in connection with the second coming of the Lord Jesus. For as we believe, his coming is very near. It's almost at the door. Now we are told in this chapter that I have just read, chapter 17 of Luke's Gospel, that his coming for the church will be sudden. It's as the lightning that shineth out of one part of heaven unto the other part of the heaven. Now it's going to be like a lightning flash. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, simply says that his coming is going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptibly, and we, that is our bodies, shall be changed. Now, we find from this portion today that his coming is sudden. It's unexpected. That is, they won't expect his coming, but it's going to happen suddenly, and it's going to be unexpected. Then we find that he gives two illustrations in connection with the coming of the Lord Jesus. The first one he gives is in connection with Lot in the days of the flood. And the second illustration that the Lord gives us is in connection with Lot, I should say, in Sodom and Gomorrah. The first one is Noah. I made a mistake there. And the second one is Lot. Now, when you look at these two, you can see just exactly the things that were happening in those days. The state of the world at his coming, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. That's verses 26 through 30. Most certainly the world was not converted in the days of Noah. neither will it be converted at the coming of the Lord Jesus. This world is not going to be converted and is not going to get any better. I hear so much today that the world is getting better and we're going to have a change in the entire world. There's no place in my Bible to tell me that the world is getting any better, but the Bible tells me the world is getting worse and worse unto the end. Now you can see from the portion that I've just read you that it's going to be just similar as it was in the days of Noah. Now Noah was a man that found grace in the eyes of God, and we find out in connection with Noah that although he found grace in the eyes of God, and although he warned men and women faithfully for 120 years, that very few listened to the preaching of Noah, and very few were inside the ark of safety. The days of Noah were characterized, I might say, by backsliding and unbelief. We read, with the drank, they married wives, and rejected the testimony of Noah until the flood came. God had said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." And that is Genesis chapter 6 and 3. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And the Spirit of God, through the preaching of Noah, was speaking to men and warning them of the judgment to come, and that they should prepare to meet God. But they made no preparation. We are told what they were doing. They were doing the same as they're doing today, because as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, in the days of Noah, of course, they were busy just the way they're busy today. The last days, I might say, before the flood came, were days of corruption. God looked down and he said that he saw the wickedness of men, and their wickedness and their sin went right up into the nostrils of God. Now when people, and God looks down upon people today, and we read that he's seated on the circle of the earth, and he looks down, and the inhabitants of the earth are just as grasshoppers in his sight. When he looks down, I wonder what he sees today. He sees the wickedness of men is great upon the face of the earth, just the same as it was in the days of Noah. That is, they were eating, that is, they were never satisfied with their eats. 3 meals a day don't satisfy people today. And drinking, that is, never satisfied with drink. You can feed men and women, boys and girls, young and old, and you can give them everything they possibly can eat. And they'll get into the car and they'll stop at the first drive-in, possibly, and get a malted milk or some other drink of some kind or another. And still are drinking, eating and drinking. Now, and of course, they don't stop sometimes at these soft drinks either, but we'll just leave that with you. They were doing that in the days of Noah. And then they were marrying. And we know what that means today. They were exchanging wives. They would marry and then fall in love with this person, and in a year or so have a divorce and marry another. Now, that's what they're doing today. Marrying and giving in marriage, exchanging of wives, and so forth. Now they were buying and selling and planting and building. We're certainly doing that today. Then there was lawlessness on every hand. And we find in these last days, these perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, 2 Timothy 3, 1-4. And so, when you look at all these things, we have come to the conclusion that we're living in the dark, dark days that the Lord Jesus spoke of. Whatever teaching does not exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and honor the Holy Ghost is not of God. Now, the results of his coming is very plain in this chapter. The results will be very, very plain indeed. For we read that there are two definite effects brought before us. First, there's an eternal separation. Now, this is a grievous separation. When Noah, who had been condemning the world by his righteous works, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, was taken into the ark and shut up, then the flood came. When Lot was taken out of Sodom, then the fire and the brimstone fell from heaven. One shall be taken, we read, the other shall be left. So shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. There shall be a taking away of those who are the Lord's, and they shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Now when the church is taken up out of this world, we have said already in the previous address that the salt of the earth is the church. The church or the saved of the Lord are the salt of the earth. And if the salt of the earth is taken out of the way, then of course you may expect that the whole thing will turn to corruption again. There will be no hindrance for Satan carrying out his deadly work, because the church has been removed and the Holy Spirit has been removed. When the church of God has been taken out of this Christ-rejecting world, then the Lord shall take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. That's what we're told in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. So I ask you, as I bring my message to a close today, that you will be sure of one thing, and that is that you are ready for this great event. Be you also ready, for in such an hour, when you think not, the Lord shall come. And what a sad thing to think if Noah and his family had not been ready. For 120 years they were preaching and telling men and women of the day when the Lord should take vengeance on this world because of sin, and when judgment would be poured out and the wrath of God would be poured out. What a sad day would have been for Noah when God said to him, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark," if he had not been found ready. But we read that they were ready, because when God says come, Noah and his family went up the gangplank and God shut them in. What a glory and what a joy to know that we're shut in the ark with the Lord. And I trust as you hear my voice that you know what it is to be shut in with the Lord Jesus. That is, to be in Christ all is well, not in Christ all is not well. That's the only hiding place, that's the only safe place to be, is in Christ. And if you're in Christ, when the call comes, when the Lord Jesus appears in midair, you will go with the believing church, and your bodies will be changed to look onto his glorious body without spot or wrinkle, and you're going to sit down around the throne and sing unto him that loved you and washed you from your sins in his own blood upon Calvary's tree. Are you ready for this great event? What a glorious thing to be able to say, "I know him whom to know is life eternal." The apostle could say, I know him and the power of his resurrection. And I trust you can say this very same thing. May the Lord enable you, if you never trusted him before, to bow your knee right beside your radio and trust the Lord Jesus, take him as your Savior, and publicly confess him to the world, and let others know that you belong to the Lord. You do it right now. Father, we thank thee for this opportunity and privilege of reading thy word. Bless our hearers, we pray, and receive our thanks. In his name, amen.